Nikki. All right, if you guys want to go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, and I hope you guys all had a very Merry Christmas this year, but the thing is, Christmas is over now. Right, after all this build-up and all this hype, all the festivities, the parties, and the presents, and everything that we did this past week and the weeks leading up to it, that it's over. And most of us are moving on now, and for a lot of us, our focus will now turn to, all right, we've got a new year coming up. And as that new year comes up, I'm sure that a lot of us are taking this week to kind of assess our lives, and we want to take a look at where we're at, and where we might need to make some changes. You know, the thing is, as we're looking at our resolutions and we're thinking about some different things we might want to do with our lives, what we're often wondering, where did I get off track? You know, I had so many things that I wanted to do differently this year. I had so many foods that I wanted to stop eating, right? I had so many plans for my exercise. I'm going to get healthier this year by getting out more. I'm going to walk more. I'm going to bike more. You know, whatever it may be. I was so determined to read more, to pray more, to save more money, to spend more time with my family, spend more time with my friends. And we often wonder, you know, where did I get off track? Where did I go wrong? Because I'm sure for a lot of us in here, we probably make some of the same resolutions year after year, don't we? The same old thing that we didn't really get right last year, and so we come back the next year, and you know we're back and we're determined that this year I'm finally going to get it right, and I'm going to make that change that I know I need to make. But what are we really asking ourselves in all of this? What's the root question that we're really trying to get at here? We're really asking ourselves, what is most important? What's the most important thing for me to give my time to give my energy to give my resources to change this year? Because where we get off track is we get sidetracked with a bunch of lesser things. You know, the reason why we don't eat so healthy is because we feel like, oh, what's maybe more important is just that I enjoy what I'm eating, that it tastes really good to me. And maybe the reason why we don't read our Bibles as much as we would like to is just because we find other things that are frankly more interesting. They capture our attention more. They're just more compelling to us. They're more enjoyable. And so what we're really doing here is we're asking ourselves, what is most important? What's the most weighty thing? And what really should be a priority for my life? And so if you determine that the most important thing is your health, then what you do is you make a plan to be more focused on your health. You're going to join a gym. You know, you're going to eat differently. You're going to get outside more. You're going to do all these things, but you're going to make it make a plan because you give yourself to whatever you believe is most important. If you believe that it's really a priority, then you're going to give your time to it. It's just the way that we work. And so then I think it's only fitting then that we would take this time, as we do every year, and we'd like to go through our core values here at Vine Street. And maybe some of you have never even noticed this, or maybe you've just kind of forgotten about it. But right there on your bulletin, right underneath, or maybe it's next to the words, the logo there for Vine Street Baptist Church, you see those three little phrases there. It's love God, serve people, and make disciples. I know we don't talk about them all the time, and part of that is just because, well, they sort of come up in all of our sermons and all of our Sunday school lessons. It's kind of implicit. But what we like to do every year is we just take a few weeks and we focus specifically on these core values just to remind ourselves that more than anything else, we have decided as a church body that this is what's most important, that this is our priority. If we're going to give our time, if we're going to give our energy, if we're going to give ourselves to anything in the coming year, let's give ourselves to these things. Otherwise, why are they even on the bulletin? Why are they our core values? Unless we really believe that these are worth our time. This is worth paying attention to. It's worth orienting our lives around. And so what we want to do is we're going to take the next 2 weeks, and we're just going to go through these three little phrases here. I know Pastor Ben used to call them the Great Commandment, Great Commitment, and Great Commission. And so I'm not going to use those terms, but this week we'll go through the first two. Love God and serve people. And to do that, we're going to read here in Matthew chapter 22, and we'll begin in verse 34. And hear the word of the Lord. The Spirit writes through our brother Matthew. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. He said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Let's pray together. Father God, as we open your word this morning, we long more than anything else to hear you speak to us right now. And so we pray that by your Spirit, Lord, your word will be illuminated to us right now. It will cause our hearts, cause our minds to be in tune with what your word is saying to us this morning. We pray that it will be clear, that we will be focused on it this morning. Lord, increase our love both for you and for our fellow man this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we want to set the context of this passage real quick. And so if you look back here, and what's the flow of the narrative in Matthew chapter 22, you see beginning back in verse 15 that Jesus is under attack here. And he's under attack from these groups of religious leaders, primarily the Pharisees and the Sadducees, these two groups of high-ranking, very important religious officials in Israel at that time. And they have this little scheme going on here. And here's their scheme. They hate Jesus. They want him arrested. Ideally, they would love to have him killed. But he's so popular with the people that they feel like if they were to just outright attack him, that some of that hatred might actually come back on themselves because people actually like Jesus. And so their plan is, we have to turn the crowds against Jesus somehow. And so they come up with this idea. Let's ask him some really, really difficult questions, and maybe he'll slip up and he'll say something that we think he's really teaching all along. We really think that he's trying to put himself above the law of Moses. We think that he doesn't actually have anything to do with the Old Testament, with the revealed word of God, and we think that if we ask him the right questions, we can sort of root that out. It's almost like an interrogator, a police interrogator, that brings somebody in and they're just trying to get a confession. You know, and so they'll ask a bunch of really hard questions. They'll put them into a room, and they'll sit them there for a long time, and they're trying to just put the pressure on them as much as possible to maybe get them to just crack. And so that's what these officials are trying to do here. They're trying to get Jesus to crack. Maybe he'll answer the wrong way, or really more than anything, maybe he'll say what we think he's been wanting to say all along, which is something against the law of Moses, against Moses himself, and really against the Lord. And so their first plan here is to get Jesus to admit that you don't have to pay taxes to Caesar. And then we can try him as a rebel against the Roman government. Or maybe what he'll do is he'll say, you do have to pay taxes to Caesar, and then we can play up this whole idea that he doesn't really love God, that he's more devoted to Caesar than to God. And what do you see? You see, Jesus shuts down this whole argument here. He says, whose image is on the coin? If it's Caesar's, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render to God the things that are God's. It says they marveled at him. They didn't know what to say. And then right after this, they ask him a question about the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And so they wanted to trap Jesus here. And Jesus points out to them that the resurrection is real. Otherwise, why would God have said, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob"? He's not the God of the dead, but he is the God of the living. And so, once again, they're stumped. They can't catch him in this trap. So then they send one more person up here to ask him a question. And notice what he asks him here. He says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" This man here, a Pharisee, he would have been a lawyer. He would have been an expert in the law. would have known it back and forth, like the back of his hand, right? So he would have known exactly which one he considered to be the greatest commandment in the law. They had debates about this all the time. They were always wondering which one of these commandments was really more important to obey than the others, and they would go back and forth, and there were a lot of different theories here, and so they wanted to see, well, what is this Jesus character here, this rabbi, this teacher, going to say about the law? Wouldn't he probably would say, it's something that I made up. I've got a new commandment, something outside of the law, because they thought that he was above and beyond Moses, that he didn't want anything to do with the Old Testament. They thought he was bringing some new and foreign teaching into Israel. Jesus shuts it down. Once again, he says that, no, I far from having my own commandment, I'm going to take you right back to the law of Moses. And I'm going to point you to the law in its entirety, and I'm going to sum it up in this way. If you want to know, Mr. Pharisee, what the law is really all about, how to really fulfill everything that Moses taught you guys, then do this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. It's a great and first commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And what does he say here? He says that on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Everything hangs on this. You do away with this, then what's the point in following the rest of the commandments? Because they all boil down to love for God and love for neighbor. And so that points us back to what's really most important as we transition into this new year. Exactly what we said earlier, our core values here. Love God, serve people. Love God and serve people. That's it. If you're looking for a New Year's resolution, if you don't have something yet, might I suggest, love God, serve people. Love God, serve people. Love God, serve people. It sums up the whole law. It essentially sums up the whole Bible. We can stop the sermon right here, right? That's it. Well, no, here's the thing. It's not really quite so simple, is it? I mean, I think we all know that is what we're called to do as believers. Maybe we don't think about those exact words and exact phrasing every week or every day. But if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you probably know that this is what the Lord has called you to. The issue here is not that we don't have the right knowledge of what we're supposed to do. The reality for us is that even though we know what the great commandment is, even though we know what the Lord desires from us, again, somewhere we just get off track. Somehow we get distracted by a bunch of other things. I don't know if the navigation apps on cell phones still work this way, but I know I used to have, back before I had a cell phone that had GPS on it, I had one of those old Garmin GPS units, you know, the big bulky kind that you would set there in your car. And I had mine set to this British voice, and I don't know why I even had it on there. I've turned off the voice on my GPS now, but you know, you would set it to your destination and it would just lay out, okay, turn right here, get onto this road, and then it would give you directions in 5 miles, turn this way, that sort of thing, right? And what would happen though if you make a wrong turn or if you miss a turn? Or sometimes it seemed like you could just be driving along the road and it thinks that you're out in the woods somewhere because the system's all out of whack, and what do you hear? Recalculating, recalculating, recalculating. It's so annoying, right? That voice is there to remind you that somewhere along the way, it's not that you've forgotten what your destination is. That's not the problem. You knew where you were going. The issue was somehow you missed the turn. You got off track. Maybe you knew where you were going, but you didn't know exactly how to get there. And I think that's kind of how it is with us and love for the Lord and love for our neighbor. When it comes to our obedience to this great commandment, the one that Jesus says is more important than all the others, it's not that we don't know that's our destination. We know that's our goal. We know that's what the Lord desires from us above all else. But the sad fact is that somewhere along the line, every year, we seem to get off track in this. And so we need that message. We need that recalculating. We need a recalculating in our lives. And that's what we do whenever we go through this series, whenever we bring these things back to our attention. So let me ask you, is that your story in 2015? If we think about the last year as a journey, your starting point was wherever you were at in love for the Lord and love for your neighbor on January 1st of 2015. And we think about where we're at now as we are approaching 2016. How did your journey go? Would you say you're more in love with the Lord now than you were this time last year? Would you say you're more in love with your neighbor now than you were this time last year? Are you serving more now? Are you thinking of others more now? Do you feel more love, or are you showing more love of the Lord now than you were this time last year? If you've gotten off track, it's the time now for some recalculating. And so we want to remind ourselves that this is the most important thing that we can focus on in 2016. It's more important than changing our diet. It's more important than changing our spending to save more money. It's even more important than spending more time with family. There's nothing wrong with those things. Those are all good and righteous things if they're done in the right way. But to do them in the right way means that we have to give priority above all else to love for the Lord. Here's the catch, though. Loving God with your heart, your soul, and your mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself doesn't mean that if you just do these two things, then you can neglect the rest of the commandments of the Lord. It's not what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying that if you just do these two things, forget about all the rest of the commandments in the Old Testament, in the Bible. What does he say in verse 40? He says, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Don't throw all those things out, but rather do them in this way, in love for the Lord and love for your neighbor. And so what this means is, then, is someone can't say, well, you know, in the past year, I didn't do the best job of reading my Bible. You know, I wasn't so great at it this past year. But I love God. I love my neighbor. And Jesus said that was the most important thing. I didn't really go to church all the time this past year, but I love God at home. I love my neighbor on my own time. And I think that's basically fulfilling what Jesus said here. Love the Lord your God. You know, why do I need to go to church? He said, this is the greatest commandment. Why do I need to read my Bible to pray? This is the greatest commandment. Jesus isn't saying, do this to the exclusion of all the other commands in the Bible, everything else that God desires from us. That's not his point. And he's not telling us here so much what to do as he is why we do things. Jesus is getting to the heart behind our obedience more than he is calling us to obedience. Do you see that? He's giving love as the priority. He's giving love as the motivation, the driving force behind everything that we do. In other words, he's almost echoing something like what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 as he talked about love. Right? He said, if I do all of these things but I have not love, then what's the good of it? What's the point? That's sort of what Jesus is saying here. He's saying if you focus so hard on obeying every single rule in the Bible, not breaking a single one, but you do so out of love for yourself, then you've messed up and you missed the whole point of the whole Bible. It was never meant to call us to just a blind obedience, duty for the sake of duty. Just trucking along, just doing my part. Trying to follow all the rules. He says, if you want to know what God is all about, what the greatest commandment of the Lord is, then as you seek to honor me, do so out of love for God, not out of love for yourself. And if there's anything we've learned from the Pharisees, it's that it is entirely possible to be so focused on strict adherence to the rules, it's making sure you don't do anything wrong, that you can actually miss the Lord in your obedience. Why, just one chapter later in Matthew 23, Jesus rebukes the scribes and the Pharisees here, and one of the things he tells them is he says, you know, you tithe, you give 10% of all your spices, your cumin and your dill and your mint. You're so zealous to make sure that you give 10% of that, but you neglect the weightier matters of the law. Justice and mercy and faithfulness, he says. And so what Jesus is doing here, he's saying, you know, God cares just as much about why you do what you do as he does what you do. He doesn't just look down and say, okay, you know what, this past year, you read your Bible every day. 5 gold stars for you. Extra little room for you in your mansion in heaven. He wants to know, why did you do that? What drove you to wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to read my Bible today? Because you know it's entirely possible to do that, to read every single day, to pray every single day, and to do it in such a way that you're doing it out of love for yourself, so that when you lay your head on the pillow at night, you don't have to feel so guilty about, oh, I can't believe I didn't read today, I didn't pray, I just wasn't very faithful today. And you turn it all inward, and you focus on the fact that I'm going to read my Bible tomorrow so I don't feel so bad. Maybe you say, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to tell someone about Jesus so that the next time somebody asks me, hey, have you witnessed to anyone? Have you shared your faith lately? Then you can say, oh, yes, I have. Yeah, twice actually in the past week. Look at me. Look at how good I was. Look at how obedient I was to the Lord. Jesus says the first and great commandment isn't follow all the rules. It's love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Let love be the motivation. Let love be what drives you to do anything that you do for the Lord. If you read your Bible, do it out of love for the Lord, not out of love for yourself. It's easy to say, but how do we do this? If we want to be all about these core values in 2016, loving God, serving people, making disciples. If that's our destination, how do we get there? And I think it begins with recognizing the source of our love for God. So we read a little while ago in our New Testament reading. What did 1 John remind us? We saw this last week as well. It's that love for God doesn't begin with our love going up to the Lord. It begins with us receiving God's love for us. It starts with God. He is the initiator. He's the one who gives his love to us. And then as we receive that love, then we can show that love to others. Then we can love the Lord in return. No unbeliever just wakes up one day and says, I'm going to start loving God today. It takes a realization of how awesome, how powerful, how amazing is the love of the Lord. It's where it all starts. It's only after we receive God's love that we can then love God and love others. Talked last week about this love story in the Bible. Remember, as we get swept away, as we just get amazed and awed in our hearts at the love of God for us in Christ Jesus, what does that do? It compels us to love the Lord in return. It compels us to show love outward to others, but it starts in the heart as we receive the love of God. So if you've never received the life-changing love of God by faith in Christ, turning from your sins, then you cannot possibly fulfill, cannot possibly obey this great commandment. You cannot love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind if you've never received his love through Christ. So do you believe that loving the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind is worth your time in 2016? Should it be a priority? I got to be honest, it's not just going to happen. We're not just going to wake up one day this year and realize, oh my goodness, look at how much I love God. Look how much I serve people. I haven't even done anything. It just sort of happened. I've just been living my life. It takes a plan. It takes a plan to grow in love for the Lord. And if you need a plan, there's no better time to make a plan. And right now, as we come to a new year, I think one of the ways we can do this, probably the best way, I know it sounds like I'm on repeats sometimes, guys, but this is just what This is just what God has called us to. Maybe some of us need to start a Bible reading plan. Maybe that's just where we need to start. We need to start with a plan for approaching the Scripture. Something other than just, I'm just going to open my Bible today and see whatever I open it up to, and that's where I'll read, and maybe God will say something to me. But maybe we do need to get a little bit more disciplined about the way that we approach the Scriptures. You know, if you don't have anything that you're reading through right now, if you don't have a plan, maybe you shouldn't start trying to read through the whole Bible in a year. Maybe it's good to just start with the New Testament. I intended to print out some Bible reading plans that would take you through the New Testament in 1 year, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week. There's plenty of time for you to stop and reflect on that on the weekends or after you read as well. Our printer was down today, and so I don't have those, but if you want to know more about that, feel free to come and see me after the service sometime this week, whenever, and I can put resources in your hands that will equip you, that will guide you in being a regular Bible reader. I know we said earlier you can do it in such a way that it's done out of the wrong motivation. And if you're not careful, you can almost paralyze yourself, always questioning your motives. Am I doing it the right way? And am I focused on myself right now? And what I would say is don't be so consumed with that at first. Just start reading somewhere. Give yourself to the study of the Word. Make it a priority in your life to learn about the love of God for you in Christ. And you do that through the Scriptures. You can't love someone that you don't know. If you want to know the Lord more, if you want to love Him more, you have to learn about Him through the Scriptures. You have to come to know Him through the Scriptures. Make it a priority to pray this year. Not just when you have a need to bring to the Lord, but just to talk to your Father. A Father who wants to hear from you. I know my wife gave me a prayer journal this year that I'm really excited about starting. Something to make my prayer life more disciplined. It's just an area where I struggle. It's tough. It's easier to be dedicated to a Bible reading plan than it is to a prayer plan. Because it is spontaneous in some sense. But at the same time, if we don't think about it, if we don't have a plan, if we don't approach it in the right way, then it's so easy just to neglect it and just kind of let it fall to the wayside as other seemingly more important and seemingly more necessary, more immediate things vie for our time and for our attention. And so take some time this week, just as we approach this new year, and ask, how can I grow in my prayer life? It's another great way to grow in love for the Lord. Talk to Him. Get to know Him more. Bring to Him your desires. Bring to Him what troubles you. Bring it all to Him in prayer. Maybe you need to find a time, a place, find some rhythm that works for you so that you are in constant communication with the Lord this year. And ask the Lord to show you areas of your life where maybe there's something that in the past year in 2015 has robbed you of love for the Lord. Maybe there's something that has been crowding out love for God. It's taken priority. It's displaced love for God and love for neighbor as the greatest commandment. And instead, you have put something else in its place that I have to do this today. I have to give myself to this. This is more important. Ask the Lord to show you if there's something, honestly, in your heart, that's taken over the place of God. It's taken over love for the Lord. You love it more. Maybe it's just self-love. Maybe you just become so focused, so consumed with yourself, you've neglected the Lord this year. Again, there's absolutely nothing wrong with making a resolution to lose weight, eat healthier, exercise more, save more. But again, when these things become our priority, when they become the thing that we're most dedicated to, especially when we make a plan for them, oh, we'll do that. We'll make a plan for how we're going to attack this. But we don't give careful, reflective thought to how we're going to grow in our love for the Lord. That's a problem. Don't let 2016 be another year where we just grow stagnant. We neglect love for the Lord. say, I'm going to love the Lord my God with all of my heart, my soul, and my mind in 2016. I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. And how do you do that? How do we love and serve others as we love and serve ourselves? Well, just very quickly, think about how you meet your own needs. What are some of your needs? What are some of the things that you would say that you value, that you love, that you feel like you need? Maybe it's food. Maybe it's shelter. Maybe it's clothing. Maybe it's someone to talk to. Maybe it's mercy and grace for whenever you mess up, whenever you offend someone, you make a mistake, let someone down. Maybe you need wisdom. Whatever it may be, show love to others by giving these things to others just as you would give them to yourselves. Just as you look out for your own needs, look out for the needs of others. Both here in the body, in the church, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and also as we go out from here during the week, ask the Lord to show you where there are needs, where there are people who are hurting, people who you have been given, been blessed with the opportunity by the Lord to serve, to love with the love of the Lord that you have received. Ask Him if you've been blinded to that. Ask Him if you've been so focused on yourself that you have just ignored needs that are right in front of you. Pray that He would give you the strength, the courage, the conviction to take action, to serve others this year, to be just as concerned for the good of others as you are for yourself. That's what Jesus is pointing out here in this commandment. That this second commandment is just, it's like the first. And that raises the bar for us, doesn't it? He's not saying that love for God is the greatest commandment, and then, oh, yeah, by the way, love your neighbor as well. But He puts it right up there. And on that commandment, love for your neighbor as yourself, just like love for God, on that commandment as well hangs all the law and all the prophets. If you want to know what the Bible calls us to do, if you want to be obedient to the word of the Lord, then look at this right here. The great and first commandment, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So above all else, we're thinking about what we're going to make a priority in 2016. What we're going to give ourselves to. What's going to drive us? What's going to motivate us? What's going to be worth our time, our energy, our resources? Put the love of God for you in Christ foremost in your heart and in your mind. Put yourself daily in front of that truth, that God loves you in Christ Jesus. Soak in that. Dwell in that. Be motivated by that. Be driven by that. Recognize that God's love is both the power that enables us to love, and it's also the example that models for us how to love. Let's be a church that loves God and serves people, and that wants to grow in this area as well. Let's pray. Father God, we confess that apart from your Spirit's work in our lives, we cannot obey these commandments. And Lord, none of us can obey them perfectly. And yet at the same time, we know that through your Spirit, you can equip us, you can empower us to follow you. But Lord, we want to be a church that loves you. We want to be a church that serves others. And we need to grow so much in this area. Lord, help us to be on the right path this year. Help us to give you the best of our time, the best of our energy, the best of our resources. Make you the goal, make you the priority above all else. Lord, help us to depend on grace for this. Lord, may we not ever be driven by a love for ourselves. Lord, help us to be driven by love for you have first and so greatly loved us. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.